Good morning. Scripture reading will be out of 2 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'll pick up at verse 6 and following. And again, to echo what our brother Johnny said, welcome to all our visitors this morning. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. We thank God for his word. Thank you.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the house of God. We appreciate your effort on this morning to come here another portion of his holy and divine word. And we hope and pray as we have our time together that something will be said to stimulate you to live a better life for the Lord, reach out to those who do not know him. And we just thank God for his mercy and his grace on this morning. I want to thank Brother Johnny for getting our mindset, getting us in order that we may be able to have a service worthy of our Father. We appreciate Brother Bill leading us in song. And Brother Bill, I want to especially thank you for praying for me. I appreciate that so very much. Appreciate Brother Pritchett and reading scriptures on this morning. And finally, we want to thank Brother Clark for the way that he has led us in song. I want to say to Brother Larry Clark, on behalf of the leadership here at Arlington, I want to apologize to you for the last song that you were intended to sing is one that we have looked at as an eldership and determined that it's not consistent with the scriptures, and we failed to communicate that to you. We forget sometimes that our congregation is changing over time, and once we make announcements that some just do not have the benefit of hearing it. So what did happen? We find that song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus, is suggesting that we speak and pray to Jesus rather than we pray to God. Amen. We pray to God through Jesus Christ. So it's no big deal. I apologize. We have failed you as leaders, and I'm asking you to please forgive us for that. But that's who we are. We're transparent, and we want to make sure that everything that we do is right before God, and that's our only intention. No brother has loved me, supported me more than this brother right here. And I appreciate you, and I love you, and I'm so sorry that happened to you on this morning. But he's a seasoned song leader. Didn't miss a step, did he? Got the song, got us encouraged, sang it, and we well on our way. The devil is always trying to stop that which is good. Also like to announce to you on this morning that our sister Sheila Andrews, and I don't even know the reason why, I was simply overcome with emotion. I don't know what quite is going on with her. She's in the back. But make it a point, if you will, to say an encouraging word to her. We take for granted sometimes that we come to church, but, you know, sometimes it's our only opportunity to open up and let everything be seen before us, and sometimes you can be overcome. So we're praying and we're thinking about our sister Sheila on this morning, and we want you to encourage her. Today is a great day. It's an opportunity that we have to share God's word with you, and I wish to do that on this morning in two lessons, part one on this morning and part two at 5 o'clock p.m., and we invite you to come back to hear God's word. But the title of our lesson on this morning is this: When God Brags on You. When God brags on you. And when we begin to look at this concept, I want to ask you a question. What do you think of people that brag? What do you think of them? Some people brag on their children, don't they? And let me just stop right there and tell you, those of you who brag on your children, you don't have any idea that you're doing so. But all your friends know that you're going to talk about your children, and you're going to take them through every detail. Now, I know you're proud, but some people just brag on their children. Some people brag on the level of education, do they not? You ever come across some of these PhDs and you say to them, well, how you doing, mister? And they look at you with disdain. Mister, I am Dr. so-and-so. Okay, you may very well be that, but did you cease to be a man? Can you not call you for what you are? But some people, you see, they brag on their education. They want the world to know who they are and where they've been and what level that they're on. Some people brag about their jobs, do they not? Man, we fall in love and we marry our jobs. And just a few years down the road, that same job want a divorce from you, do they not? It's time for them to move on, but yet we fall in love and we just brag about our jobs. Some people brag about the money they make. Some brag about the money they save. Some even brag about the money they don't have. They just want to brag and let the world know that they got everything going on in their lives. Some people brag about their sports team, do they not? I mean, we love our sports team. Go Gators, Roll Tide, and all the rest of them, you see. We brag about that. And you know, I was thinking as I went through this lesson, most of you know that I kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. And we haven't won a Super Bowl in a long time. And when we finally win one, if it's in my lifetime, you don't have to worry about me bragging. You have to worry about Quentin bragging. I know some of you brothers who talk football with Quentin do not even want to be around him when the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl. I'm a fan. I don't want to be around Quentin when he start up. We brag about our teams, and we love them so. But the question is, what happens when God brags on you? Amen. It's nice to be bragged on, is it not? It's a good feeling. Someone is proud. That's what I'm getting. They're proud of you. My dear mother, when she was alive, she bragged on me. I used to feel sorry for anybody who came in contact with her when I came up. She would go on and on and on. I would say, Mom, I'm not all that. But she just bragged because she was so proud. But we began to look at our lives and find out when God brags on us, as we're going to look at in the scriptures on this morning, it usually means there's a challenge coming your way. God don't brag on you for nothing. He doesn't do that. When God is doing the bragging, when God is proud, He is going to make a point. He's trying to make a point to say, this is why I am proud. What happens when God brags on you? Turn to Genesis chapter 6, if you will, please. And I want you to look at this time, and we're familiar with this story, the story of Noah. Noah was a man, as we read in the scriptures, you see, was caught up in his time, a time of wickedness all over. And the Bible says at verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. The Bible says at verse 7 and 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. A wicked time. All thoughts are on things just as evil continually. But yet this man, Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You see, God is proud of Noah. God is willing to brag on Noah. Why? Because in spite of what's going on around him, he chose to be faithful to God. You see, when God begins to brag on you, there's usually a challenge that's going to come. And you know his challenge. He had to build an ark, did he not? Build an ark, and God gave him instruction because God had already announced that I'm sorry that I have made man. Pick up at verse number 13. The Bible says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the vase shall be 300 cubits. Its width 50 cubits. And its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to the cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. When we begin to look at what God has done, we begin to look and understand that this man Noah, out of all that he'd gone through, was given instructions, you see, to build an ark. Why? God chose him to do it. But there's always a challenge that's going to come after that. What was Noah's challenge? Noah preached for 120 years, preached the gospel that no one responded to other than his family. Noah had to build an ark with people surrounded by him saying, what in the world is this crazy man doing? What is he building? Can you imagine that? Every day being ridiculed to go 120 years of building? How many of us would have quit and said, God, you know what? I'm tired of people getting on my nerves. I'm tired of them picking on me. I don't understand it. They don't understand it. What's the use? But he went and he built and did exactly what God wanted him to do. You see, when God brags on you, sometimes you have to build something. Isn't that right? Amen. And we look ourselves today, you see, we have to understand that we are to build something. But the question is, what are we building? We look at our children, you see, and God has smiled on us and blessed us to give us children. But what are we building? We take them and we baby them and we pamper them, and they go up and they grow. They have no idea how to deal with confrontation. Do you not know on our college campuses now that they have safe zones for students? They don't want to hear anything of opposing view, lest they be, you know, concerned and distraught. We have a safety zone. You come over here, so you won't hear anything that you don't want to hear. It used to be a day when colleges and universities was designed for that. Amen. That's where you went to find out other things. But no, because we have babied them for so long and pampered them for so long, they're not equipped, you see, to deal with the real world. So what if your feelings get hurt? My feelings got hurt many times when I was growing up. Your feelings get hurt sometimes. Everybody's not going to agree with you. But yet we find, you see, in our schools today that they need to be protected from that. Some just said, you know, they just fly right over their children all the time. The little helicopter. Look out, Junior, now. Don't eat your boogers. You know, don't do this. Don't do that. Want to get a child a chance to grow up and know what's right from wrong. My wife would verify this. The cousin. Cousin got three boys, and they came to stay with us about a week or two, and about the third day, Michelle asked me, she said, why your cousin don't let his boys go outside? This was 20 years ago, and I got things, said, you know what, she right. So I went and asked my cousin, because we close, hey man, why you let your boys go outside? He said, well, I had a dog, there's doo-doo out there. So I went back and told Michelle what he said. She said, well, Them boys don't have sisters up, not Stephanie Doodoo. These are boys. Send them out. Let them play. You know what I mean? We don't make it. What are we building? I don't know if you heard, but at Arizona University, Arizona State University, Army cadets, they were forced to wear red high heel pumps. Rest of the uniforms, red pumps on. Why? So they can understand how it feels like to walk in her shoes. What are we building? These are the people that's going to grow up to protect us, you see? What are we going to have when conflict comes, you see? We want to see red heels coming or we want to see boots? I can't imagine the great generals of the past seeing their soldiers coming in with red high heel pumps on. What are we building? We have to ask ourselves, you see, because this world is changing. The world is changing for the worse, and the United States of America is leading the charge. Why? Because the world looks at us. They want to do what we want to do. And what we're doing, we lead him down a path that make him everything but God proud of in the way that we carry ourselves. Have you been looking at the news lately? Y'all know what happened in North Carolina? In the LGBT movement? North Carolina made a decision. The citizen voted, went through their houses, the governor approved that they're not going to have House Bill 2, I think they're calling it there, where a transgender cannot decide on a daily basis what he or she think they are, can go into any bathroom that they want to go. They said no. The citizen said no. The governor gave in to the will of the people. And boy, will you think what has happened to North Carolina? Let me tell you what happened to North Carolina. They stand to lose their federal funding. Up to $4.3 billion. We're not going to build your highways anymore. We're going to take money from your schools. That's what they're saying. All kind of pressure on them. Pressure from Hollywood. Yes, pressure from your precious little Facebook. And how about your little Apple phones and watches and pads? They've come down with all kind of pressure on North Carolina saying, change, or we'll walk away from you. Now, North Carolina is out there, and they're standing alone. What's the rest of us going to do? And not long after that, a week later, the same or similar law came through Georgia, did it not? And their governor, Nathan Deal, Nathan Bad Deal, if you ask me, Nathan Deal didn't do what the will of the people was to vote. Their houses passed it, but he vetoed it. Why did you do that, Nathan Deal? Because the NBA said, we're not bringing our all-star game there. Disney said, we're going to move and we don't want to do business there. Even the SEC saying, we're going to take our little championship game out of Atlanta. That's what they do to get us to cave. It's always about the money. They hit you in your pocket and we turn away saying we can't do that. Why is that? This world is changing. And all Christians are doing is this and that, like we're watching a tennis game. In and out, in and out. We do nothing. And this world is changing. This country is not going to remain the same. God is not happy with it. When God brags on you, you see, it usually means that you got to build something. Build on what? We need to build on God's word, build on his truth, you see. Sometimes you got to build something. Sometimes you got to stand for something. Sometimes you got to unite and stand together. I don't know about you, but I plan to spend not one penny in that state of Georgia again. All that I have, I want to go to North Carolina and spend there because they deserve my support. Now, I know my little pennies don't mean nothing. They'll laugh at me. But if enough of me get together, as they do, then you make a statement. It's all about the money. You see, we need to understand that God has a way, and we're going to follow his way and not man's. And we will not give in to the pressures of this life. When God brags on you, it usually means a challenge. Amen. Noah had his challenge. He met it, and he came through. Let's look at another, please. Job chapter 1. Oh, yeah, we even talked about Job this morning in our class. It's hard to get away from Job, especially during these times. We see what's going on. We see the suffering. We have all these things that's going on. But see, when God brags on you, as God bragged on Job, we know what happened after that. Job was living a good life. He had children. He had wife, friends, money, property. You name it, Job had it. But when the Bible begins to tell us of his story, look at Job chapter 1. I'll start reading at verse number 6. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?'" What are you doing, God? God is bragging on Job. 9 says, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands. His possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person.' So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." You see, Job had everything working for him. Most of all, he had the favor of God. And God said, "Because this is my man, I would show you one who is faithful to me." God said to Satan, "Have you not considered him? There's none like him." What would be said of us if God could speak of us that way? But because God speaks of you that way, it usually means there is something to be proven. It comes with challenges, does it not? And Job went through and had all these good things happen to him. But as we begin to pick up, you see, at verse number 14 and 15, you'll find that Job lost his oxen and his donkeys, right? That equals his workforce. And verse number 16, you'll find that Job lost his sheep and his servants. Well, that's his food and clothing. Verse 17, Job lost his camels and his servants. That's his transportation. Verses 18 and 19, Job lost his children. That's his inheritance. He lost everything. Everything that he had that God had blessed him with previously has now been taken away back to back to back in the same day. It couldn't have got any worse than what it was. One could not stop giving him bad news before he was done. Another one came and piled on. God, you see, bragged on this man Job because he knew what he had in Job. Job lost it all, you see, and as we continue to look at it. And I want you to look at chapter 2. I don't know how this escaped me. It's just a small thing, but it's important. The Bible says at chapter 2, verse number 1, book of Job, again. Did you miss that little word? It all happened again. After all of this, God is still bragging on Job. And the Bible says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil and still holds fast to his integrity, although you have incited me against him to destroy him without cause. It repeated, and God is still bragging. And you know what? More trouble is going to come. Isn't that right? More trouble is going to come Job's way, because we find that his wife didn't support him anymore. He had three friends who traveled a great distance, you see, who looked afar off and said, there he is, but we don't even recognize him. And when they finally got with him, they all sat around for 7 days and seven nights, did not say a word. What kind of friends are that? You come to see me and you're going to sit around and just stare at me like I'm some animal? Where's the comfort? But that's what they did to him, you see. You'll find his confident friends in chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. He lost his health. Did he not? God said, don't touch his body. Well, don't take his life, but you touch his body. Boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, using a pot to scrape the scales away from it. Job was in bad shape. All because God bragged on him. You see, there are challenges that come afterwards.
That's right.
When God brags on you. You know how the story ends for Job. He went through a lot. But in the end, he was victorious and God was justified. When God brags on you, it usually means some challenges are coming. Now, I don't know about you. I say, God, I know you love me, but God, I don't know if I want you to brag on me just yet. All those things that will come that we'll see. But that's what we should be shooting for. God, brag on me. Because in the end, we will justify him. And that's what it's all about. You see, sometimes when God brags on you, you have to endure some things. And that's exactly what Job did. He had to endure a whole lot of things because God bragged on him. Why do we have to endure? You see, your struggle sometimes can be someone else's strength. Isn't that right? Your battle can be someone else's war. Your loss can be someone else's gain. Your suffering can be someone else's survival. We got to be an example to those who are looking. Times are bad and bad things happen all the time. And as we go through, you see and look at our lives, it's not woe me, it's an opportunity to glorify God. When does God, the question was asked in our class, when does God know that you believe in him, truly believe in him? It's not during the good times, it's during the bad times. You see, it's when bad times hit. And you see that now is my opportunity to glorify God.
Amen.
Anybody can, you know, praise God when things are going your way. We all do that. We're quite accustomed to that. Oh, we thank God. I praise your name. I pray to you and you answer my prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Well, that same God sometime may give you a challenge. That same God may use you to help build up somebody else. When they look at your life and see how you fared, maybe you came through and they now say, you know what? I know I can make it.
Amen.
Because the same God that brought him through will bring me through.
Amen.
I'm a child of God just like him.
Amen.
And he loves me too.
That's right, brother.
You see, your struggle sometimes can be someone else's strength.
Right.
We need to understand that and know that. Things happen. Yes, nobody wants bad things. Have I understand it? I get it. I'm like you. But when do we turn to God and say, God, now is the time for me to show what I'm made of? We take tests all the time, don't we? When your family come back, those who are not members of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the church that Jesus died for, and something bad happened in that family, begin to look and you say, well, what is he going to do now? He go to church every week. I bet he's going to come here. What is he going to say? I say, praise God. No matter what has happened, you see, praise God. Many years ago, about 19 years ago, we lost our cousin on the north side. He was killed. We to this day still don't know what happened. And all that was in the house when I came, traveled back over, I came. Everybody in the house, those same uncles and aunts, which were their child, their house. And we were there, and everybody looking and saying, what has happened? I walked in that place. I said to my family, God has been very good to us. Amen. And we will continue to praise his holy name. We will not curse God for what has happened, you see, to our cousin. We're going to praise his holy name. Amen. Now, if I'd have walked in there saying, oh, God, I don't know why you do this to us. And it's our turn. Things happen. Bad things happen. And furthermore, to my family, I said, y'all know y'all not living right anyway. Y'all there doing all kind of things, so it's bound to happen. Don't blame God, you see. Things happen. We're going to praise your name. And that's how we need to be. When that moment comes, to show what you were. Because God has bragged on you and I. Let's stand up and justify him by the lives that we will live. You begin to look at it, you see, as Noah had when he was challenged. Sometimes you got to build something. When we look at Job, sometimes you have to endure something. That's just the way it is. That's life. You see, when you become a child of God, from that point, you build, you endure, and tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to find out how we're going to finish. Amen. Come back tonight, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about. So what do you think about God bragging on you? You said you liked it all, you know. Like people to brag on you, right? What do you say? Brag on God? Brag on. Because he knows you and I. Don't get caught up in all those things. Bad things happen. We ought to be saying, Lord, where's the blessing in this? What can I do to glorify your name? Now that you got my full attention, God, what can I do to honor your name? That's what it's all about, you see, when God brags on you. Please come back and hear part two tonight because I think you want to know how to finish. Everybody want to know how to finish, right? Everybody can start, but very few can finish. It ain't about the start, it's about the finish. And that's what we end, you see. We're in this to win it, and the only way to win it is to finish it. And that's exactly what we plan to do and discuss on tonight. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God, we want you to know that God has already put things in place for you individually. He wants you to know that he loved you from the very beginning. He wants you to know that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for the sins of the world, that you and I and the whole world can come to him through his son, Jesus Christ. We want you to know that we love you here at the Arlington Road Church of Christ, the church that Jesus built. We just one in this area. The church is all over the world, those who are faithful to him. We want you to know that we want to encourage you in any way to obey the gospel, you see, to do that which God will have you do so you can be with God in the end. And you come by hearing this word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then we need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that come to God must believe that he is and that is reward of them that diligently seek him. Then we need to repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3. Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Just as Peter did, on that occasion when he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, he said, if you confess me, Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I confess you for my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I deny you for my Father, which is in heaven. Then we need to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we need to remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and the verse is 10. Hang in there. Endure. Finish. That's what we need to do. And if we do that, you see, you will become a child of God. And that's what we want. If you're here this morning, you're a child of God, and perhaps you have not taken on the challenge. Perhaps God has bragged on you a little too much and you just didn't respond appropriately. Change that this morning. Come down, ask God to forgive you. Ask the saints to pray along with you. All be well. He is faithful, you see. We can come out on this thing stronger on the other end. A better example for someone else to see. We can do that, you see. Come down and ask the saints to pray along with you. God will forgive you. If you're here this morning, you need a prayer. Or you know someone that is. Why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.